right. Yada. When. Manaha. The mind. Ridhya Granthihi. The knot in the heart. Asya. Of this person. Karma Anubaddaha. Bound by the results of his past deeds. Dridaha. Very strong. Ashlateta. Becomes slackened. Tata. At that time. Janaha. The conditioned soul. Samparivartate. Turns away. Asmat. From this attachment for sex life. Muktaha, liberated. Param, to the transcendental world. Yati, goes. Atihoya, giving up. Hetum, the original cause. Translation. When the strong knot in the heart of a person implicated in material life due to the results of past action is slackened, one turns away from his attachment to home, wife, and children. In this way, one gives up the basic principle of illusion, I and mine, and becomes liberated. Thus, one goes to the transcendental world. You can repeat, when the strong knot in the heart... of a person implicated in material life, due to the results of past action is slackened, one turns away from his attachment to home, wife, and children. In this way, one gives up the basic principle of illusion, I and mine. And becomes liberated. Thus one goes to the transcendental world. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Jaya. When by association with sadhus, and engaging in devotional service, one is gradually freed from the material conception due to knowledge, practice, and detachment, the knot of attachment in the heart is slackened. Thus one can get freed from conditional life and become eligible to return home back to Godhead. Okay? So Yadamano Radya Grantirasha Kamanu Baddo Drida Ashlateta Tadajana Sampari Vartite Smad Mukta Param Yat Yati Hoya Hetum. So Omagana Tivadanda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Meritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I found it quite interesting in this verse that is, of course, it's a verse that talks about detachment from the material world, which is extremely important. And of course, we know one can only become detached from the material world by being attached to something else. Because the nature of the soul is to be attached to something. The nature of the soul is to be active, which is contrary to the Mayavadi or the impersonal conception, is that you can become detached and not attached to anything. That's the Mayavad impersonal conception. Or you can become liberated without being attached to anything. So, as Krishna says in the Gita, Raso Varjam Raso Pyasha Parandrisra Vivartate Vishaya Vinivartate Niharasya Dehina Raso Varjam Raso Pyasha Parandrisra Nivartate Vishaya Vinivartate. So the conditioned soul is attached to this Vishaya. Now Vishaya means basically material enjoyment. Niharasya Dehina, those who are in the body are extremely attached to it according to Krishna in the Gita. Raso varjam. Raso means taste or Yes, that's what it means. Taste rasavardham asopyasha. But one who experiences some taste that is superior, param drishta nivartate. That means the drishta means to see his higher scene or higher situation. Nivartate is fixed. So that's really the principle of becoming detached from this material world or having the knots, the hridaya granti, the knots in the heart slacken. So how does that happen? It was actually a very interesting point. I mean, how do you become attached to Krishna? And I was thinking when I read this verse just previously that Krishna himself, if you just have Krishna himself, it's not so effective. You have to have Krishna's devotees. And that's what Srila Prabhupada is talking about in his purport. Because I was thinking of Krishna's pastimes, various pastimes when he came down to earth 5,000 years ago, when Lord Ramchandra came to earth millions of years ago in the Treta Yuga. And it appears, with rare exceptions, that Krishna really didn't get anyone to change their heart. Isn't it? I mean, if you think about it, Ravana didn't change his heart. He just maintained his determination to be a demon. Even though Lord Ramchandra offered him a peace deal, just like you have right now between Israel and the Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank. There's peace deals being worked out. In the same way, Lord Ramchandra, he said, look, just return Sita Devi. Everything will be all right. You know, and it was obvious that Lord Ram was God. I mean, it didn't take much brains to figure that out because he had monkeys build a bridge over the ocean. And so many things he did. He was able to kill so many demons, 14,000 rakshasas single-handedly, you know, 14 giants, Kar and Dushat, and he was able to kill. I mean, it was obvious he wasn't just an ordinary bloke. But still, Ravana's heart never got changed. It's interesting, isn't it? And it's also interesting in Krishna's pastimes 5,000 years ago, when Krishna tried to preach to Duryodhana, that Duryodhana, when Krishna was trying to arrange for a peace treaty between the Pandavas and the Kurus, Duryodhana had the audacity to try to capture Krishna. He thought he was going to take Krishna as a hostage, and the Pandavas were going to surrender. Can you imagine that? That's pretty stupid. That he's thinking, the way to stop the Pandavas from fighting is we take Krishna as a hostage. Once you got a hostage, you say we're going to kill your hostage, and therefore the Pandavas are going to lay down their arms. But what Duryodhana didn't figure out was that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of God. And then Krishna, ultimately, after Duryodhana attempted to kidnap Krishna, Krishna exhibited a great universal form. It was so brilliant that, practically speaking, everybody had to keep their eyes closed. The only person who could half see was Grandfather Bhishma. And so it was obvious he was God. Yet Duryodhana never changed his mentality. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, if you have all this, and all this preaching that Krishna did in the Battle of Kurukshetra, basically, you know, he spoke the Bhagavad Gita. I mean, he convinced Arjuna to fight, but he didn't change Arjuna from being a demon to a devotee. Arjuna was always a devotee. So you don't really see Krishna or Lord Ramchandra like sort of changing people and people saying, I surrender, Krishna, I'm going to be your devotee from now on. There may be an exception. I mean, of course, you could say, well, Putana, but she didn't do that in this lifetime. She actually was intent upon killing Krishna. It's not that when she saw Krishna, she said, oh, Krishna, you're a god, you know, I surrender, please forgive me for trying to kill you. She got killed by Krishna, and because Krishna was so kind to her, because of her connection in her previous life with her brother, Bali Maharaj. She was Bali Maharaj's sister in the previous life. Then Krishna actually took her back to home, back to Godhead. And of course, when Krishna kills the demons, they get liberated. I understand that. But you really don't see Hare Krishna. You really don't see so many changes taking place in people who come in contact with Krishna as far as, like, surrendering. Do you? I mean, I'm sure there's some exceptions, but you really don't see that. You know, there's Krishna, there's God, there's Lord Ramchandra. I mean, you have Vibhishan surrendered to Lord Ramchandra, but he was already a devotee. It's not that there was some change. He was already a devotee. It's interesting, isn't it? Think about it. You know, Krishna preaches the whole Bhagavad Gita, Krishna does this, Krishna does that. How many people change? Practically nobody. Of course, when they get killed, they really change. But then, so that's really the point that Prabhupada is making in the purport. When he's talking about becoming detached, or here that Lord Rishabhadeva is talking about becoming detached, Srila Prabhupada immediately goes to the point of associating with sadhus. Now, why is that? Because Krishna, of course we do chant, Hey Krishna, Kornana Sindhu, Dinabandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radhakanta, Namosate. Krishna is very merciful, but his mercy basically has a limit, you know. What is it? My way or the highway? That's Krishna's mercy. Sarva dharmam parichaya, isn't it? Surrender unto me. Mamai kamushananam raja ham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshi yashami masucha. Krishna gives his instructions. Manmana papamad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru. But basically, you know, there's no leeway. Either you do it or you don't. It's like, you know, you don't have a gradual path, basically. And it's so he's merciful, but there's a limit to his mercy. Whereas we look at Krishna's devotees, and they're able to manifest by their association, as Prabhupada talks here, association with sadhus, by a complete reversal in someone's consciousness. I mean, 180-degree reversal. I mean, we'll give several examples of this. Of course, I mean, Prabhupada is the perfect example. That, you know, Prabhupada comes to America, and without any word jugglery or anything like that, he just sits down in Tompkins Square Park and chants the holy names. And people come to Prabhupada, and they're really, like, really rough around the edges. I mean, super rough around the edges. I mean, in the beginning days when they had Lord Jagannath on the altar, people were offering their blue jeans to Lord Jagannath. Because Prabhupada told them to offer the best thing you have to the Lord. And they thought the best thing in the world was the blue jeans or, you know, tie-dye shirts. So people were really rough around the edges. And people were intoxicated. People were, you know, boyfriends, girlfriends, no sense of morality. But Prabhupada gave them their association just by chanting the Lord's holy names in Tompkins Square Park. And people changed. Prabhupada said that is the real miracle. From hippies to happies, you know, hippies to happies. And the hippies were the most degraded, I mean, not as bad as Ravana. I can't say they're as bad as Ravana or Kumbhakarna or any of those other out-and-out demons, Jarasandha or anything like that. But they were pretty degraded. I mean, rolling around in the mud, having illicit life. There was one movie in the 1960s called the Woodstock movie. And one of our devotees was actually at Woodstock. I won't mention her name. She's not here in the room now. And people were just like running around like pigs. And, you know, with pigs, not only like pigs, the pigs were in the mud, and they were rolling with the pigs in the mud. Can you imagine how disgusting, degraded that is? Yet here we have someone like Prabhupada comes, and he simply chants Hare Krishna, reads from a scripture, an ancient scripture, the Bhagavatam. And basically, even in the beginning, people didn't understand what Prabhupada was saying. That's the funny thing. You know, in the beginning, people people would walk into the temple and they wouldn't understand which end was the altar. You know, what was the altar and what was the back of the temple room? They were so intoxicated. But by the magic of Prabhupada's association, you know, sadhu sangha, sarvasashtukhoi, lavamatra sadhu sangha, sarvasiddhihoi, then people changed. So you see something, Prabhupada was doing something, or Prabhupada did something that even Krishna didn't do. That's interesting, isn't it? It's such an interesting thing, thinking about all of Krishna's incarnations, and Krishna didn't do anything on the same level of miraculousness that Srila Prabhupada did. And of course, Prabhupada wasn't the only one who has done these things. I mean, throughout Vedic history, there are histories or stories of sadhus who accomplished similar things. For example, in the Ramayana, the Valmiki Ramayana, of course, is written by Valmiki. You have the story of Valmiki, who was previously a dacoit. I mean, he really was one of the worst dacoits you can imagine. He would attack people on the roads, and he would kill them or rape them, take their money, and had so much karma because of that. And then what happened is these devotees, the Sapta Rishis, came along. They were on the road somehow or other. Even though the Sapta Rishis can fly through the air, but I guess they decided to walk that particular time. Just to give mercy to Ratnagara, who was actually the name of Valmiki before he became Valmiki. And so Valmiki stopped them on the road and he said, you know, your money or your life. Actually, it's interesting that sometimes in India that happens to devotees. I was speaking to one devotee who was coming back from Radhakund one time, and he was stopped, and they, you know, pulled out guns and they took all his money and everything. So dacoits are a common thing. So what happened is that they said to him, we have no problem giving you money, but don't you understand you're accumulating a lot of karma by these nefarious activities? So what are you going to do about that? And he said, Valmiki, it wasn't Valmiki then, he was called Ratnagara. He said, well, this is my job. You know, what can I do? I have to support my family. And the seven Rishis, or at least one of them, said to him, well, you're supporting your family, you're doing everything for your wife and kids. Why don't you ask them if they're willing to share the karma? So he went back to his wife, and he said, my dear Priya, do you want to share the karma? And she said, no. Your business is to give me the money, and you get the karma. And he went to his little son, and he said to his son, my dear son, Putra, are you willing to share the karma? And he said, no, Dad. You're supposed to simply buy me iPads and you know, whatever toys I want. And then he went to his little daughter, and she said, no, Dad, you're just supposed to buy me new dresses. And he went back to the Sapta Rishis, and he said, what am I going to do now? And they said, just chant the Lord's name. And he couldn't do that, so they gave him this mantra, Mara, 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 which turned into Ram, Ram, Ram. So anyway, by their association, he became a great devotee, Valmiki. Ultimately, he became so great. And there's so many stories. Magrari the hunter being stopped by Narada Muni. He was not only killing animals, he was half-killing animals and watching them writhe in pain. Can you imagine that? I mean, it's bad enough you're killing animals and you're a hunter. And so Narada Muni gave him his association. And what happened? He became such a great devotee, he wouldn't even step on an ant later on by Narada Muni's association. And even Narada Muni himself became a great devotee because of association with the sages. He was a little kid, you know, son of a maidservant. I mean, that means, and really that means he was the son of a lady who didn't know who Narada Muni's father was. You know, a lower class lady. And so she didn't know who Narada Muni's father was. and he was being taken care of by his mother. And the sages, that means he didn't have such good karma. You know, when you're born in a situation where, let's say, you have legal problems or financial problems, or you're ugly, or any of these things, that means you got bad karma. These are all symptoms of bad karma. That doesn't mean it's hopeless. I mean, you can still be saved, even if you're ugly. So what happened is that during the 4 months of the rainy season, he got a chance to serve the sages, took their remnants once, and even took initiation from them. He's only 5 years old, and he got initiation pretty good. And then because of that, I mean, Krishna arranged some, like, traumatic experiences for him. His mother passed away, and then he was left all alone. And so after that, he became the great Narada Muni by association with the sadhus, just for 4 months of the rainy season. So you see, you know, I'm illustrating the point that the sadhus are doing something that Krishna doesn't do. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, where is the person who actually had a change of heart just coming in contact with Krishna? You don't really see that in the pastimes. Of course, with Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, it's a little different. Lord Chaitanya, though, is acting as a sadhu. There's a difference. Lord Chaitanya is acting as a devotee. So therefore, I mean, you see Lord Chaitanya changing people's consciousness dramatically. Like Buddhists who attempted to kill him by giving him a poison impure food in the name of Mahaprasadam. They were initiated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then what to speak of Lord Nityananda? I mean, Lord Nityananda, there's that story with Lord Nityananda that there were some thieves who were hankering after Lord Nityananda's jewelry. And so every night they would try to wait until everyone went to sleep so they could steal the jewelry. So one night they were waiting, and then what happened is they saw these gigantic guards. The next night, one night they fell asleep. The next night there were gigantic guards. The next night there was all this rain and pus and everything coming from the sky, and they became blinded. And ultimately, they approached Lord Nityananda, became great devotees, because they realized that they had been making a mistake. So you see in Lord Nityananda, or Krishna, when he appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is acting as a devotee. So that's the point. I mean, I can give millions of examples, so we don't have a lot of time in class. But that's the point, is if you approach a devotee and have devotees' association, then your heart can be transformed, and you can loosen this knot in your heart. That is the only way. And the reason for that, there is actually a reason for that. One is that, of course, the devotees are more merciful than the Lord himself. But there's a technical reason for that, too. That Krishna does not give bhakti. Because only by bhakti can you overcome the influence of Maya. Now, as Krishna says in the Gita, Daivi Yeshu Gunamaya Mama Maya Durachya, this material energy of mine, Daivi Yeshu Gunamaya Mama Maya Durachya, Mama Eva Ye Prapajante. So he says this material energy of mine is very difficult to overcome because it's Krishna's energy. So the only way you could overcome it, as we mentioned in the beginning of class, is having a superior taste. And the only way you can have a superior taste is the taste of bhakti or love. That's actually the higher taste that people talk about. Not simply some external symptoms of ecstasy, but the loving attitude. You know, bhakti, what is bhakti? Bhakti means the desire to please the beloved and even neglecting one's own happiness, even neglecting one's own relief from pain, even neglecting one's own desire for liberation. Anyabhilashatashunyam Yanakarma Anabhitam Anukul Yena Krishna Shilana Bhakti Uttamam. I mean, that's bhakti. And so bhakti, that loving sentiment, Krishna doesn't have. That's his devotees have it, except when Krishna appears in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wants to understand it. One of the reasons for Lord Chaitanya's advent is he wanted to understand bhakti. He wanted to experience bhakti. He wanted to experience the happiness that his devotees experience, which is actually 10 million times more than Krishna experiences, which is interesting. That's what the Chaitanya Charitamrita says, that the happiness that devotees experience, the repository of bhakti, is much greater than the happiness that Krishna himself experiences as a supreme enjoyer. So when Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he experiences and can give out that bhakti. But ordinarily, Krishna doesn't give out bhakti. Bhakti is independent. And bhakti resides, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, bhakti resides in the hearts of the devotees. So it's extremely important to associate and serve devotees. Mahat Seva Mahuravi Muktes. That's another verse from Lord Rishavadev. Mahat Seva Mahuravi Muktes. One becomes liberated by serving a great soul. And of course, we chant every morning, what is it? Yasha Prasada Bhagavad Prasada Yasha Prasadana Gati Katopi. That one pleases a great soul, the spiritual master, then one gets Bhagavad Prasada. That doesn't mean one gets prasadam to eat. You may get that too. You know, Bhagavad Prasada. Bhagavad Prasada actually means the mercy of Bhagavan. And then Yasha Prasadana Gati Katopi. If one doesn't please Krishna's devotees, then one doesn't get Krishna's mercy. It's as simple as that. So Krishna consciousness is very, very simple. Like, especially those who were followers of his divine grace Srila Prabhupada, it's a very simple thing. You please Prabhupada. How do you please Prabhupada? Of course, first you got to do the bare minimum. You know, the chanting, following the regulated principles and everything like that, and serving his mission. Simple as that. It's actually not that difficult to please Prabhupada. I mean, it's like Prabhupada gave his mercy out to, like I mentioned, to all those hippies. And Prabhupada was pleased, and they became spiritually advanced, and they became happy. I mean, it's pretty easy to please Prabhupada. To please Krishna is not very difficult. Isn't it? You got to be a pure devotee. I mean, all those other requisites to please Krishna directly. To offer something, you can't offer something to Krishna. It has to go through as Krishna's pure devotee. So pleasing Prabhupada is simple. We just serve Prabhupada's mission. Serve the devotees in Krishna conscious mission. Bring more people into the Krishna conscious society. Follow the rules and regulations. And then what is extremely rare becomes easy to attain. What is extremely rare? Manashanam sahasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschit mam veti tatvataha. Out of many, many, you know, Krishna's saying in the Gita, out of many thousand people, maybe one will endeavor for perfection. And for those who, all those who have perfection, millions of people have perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So something that is rare becomes very easy to attain. And that's Srila Prabhupada's mercy. So Lord Rishabhadev later on in this particular chapter, actually the next verse, talks about accepting. He says, a highly elevated Paramahamsa. In other words, as a secret to becoming detached from this material world. So this is an open secret. So any questions or comments? We have about 2 minutes, 3 minutes left to class. Yeah.
And you could see how he was so merciful to all of his new devotees in the very beginning. And he was inviting them and showing sit down and hear.
That's amazing. But it's also interesting that when we find people who hear about Krishna but not from a pure devotee, detachment doesn't occur. I mean, I know many people have heard about Ram and Krishna for many generations in their family, and they still don't get detached. But hearing from Prabhupada. Yeah. So that's, you know, without Krishna's pure devotee presenting Krishna consciousness, because that's the miracle of the disciplic succession anyway, then there's the effect of becoming detached or attached to Krishna does not occur. Which is interesting. Like Prabhupada said, many people have presented, there are so many English editions of the Bhagavad Gita, and not a single devotee came out of those editions. Until Prabhupada presented the Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's interesting. But Prabhupada, like you said, Prabhupada is very merciful. You simply have to hear, and hearing is service. And then after you hear, you begin to serve automatically anyway. I mean, if you hear enough times, you're a servant of Krishna. After a while, it sinks in and you start to do something about it. It's time to do something about it. You're a servant of Krishna, you're a servant of Krishna, you're a servant of Krishna. After a while, it works. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinanda, Radha Gopinanda Ki Jai.